Welcome to the Jazz Funeral School Podcast, episode number 106.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be episode number 106. We're going to be going over a upgrade formula system that's taken directly from our lab launch. That's going to be our two-hand voicing building system. So you're going to find some of these strategies inside this particular upgrade formula, along with some other things that goes with it. But I'm actually taking some of the smaller steps within the upgrade formula out of that specific upgrade formula to show you exactly what you're going to get in the lab, because we're going to be launching that in just a couple of weeks. So I really wanted to have you give you a good taste of what is going to be in there, what those upgrade formulas are going to be. And then obviously we got a lot of other goodies that are in there as well. So if you're new to Jazz Piano School, obviously I'm talking about the lab. We have this awesome lab launch coming up, and there's going to be so much opportunity for, you know, growth and new ideas inside the lab, which I'm really excited about. Now with our Freedom Journey, which is essentially our main curriculum, you know, that's a massive kind of journey, right? So that's really for the dedicated person, that person who's wanting to, you know, really take their playing to the next level, commit to the journey of learning jazz piano, and essentially, you know, just go for it, right? But not all of us, I understand. Some of you are just looking for small, specific, bite-sized things, right? You just want to improve your comping, or you're kind of more of a hobbyist, right? And you just want to kind of get some chords underneath your belt and play a little bit around the piano. That's completely fine. You don't want to commit to this huge journey that's going to teach you basically everything about jazz piano. I mean, that's what our Freedom Journey, our main curriculum is, right? And so it's a three-level course. Essentially, when you start as a beginner, you know nothing. You move through the course, and then eventually it brings you up to the point where you're playing gigs. And that's using my theory sequence system, you know, using theory sequences to kind of bring you through certain steps. It's all step by step. But again, the lab is a very focused, system. Now, the other great thing about the lab is it's going to contain other things that go with it. Again, it's called the lab. So we're going to be doing a lot of studying, like analysis, you know, of different things that are happening in jazz piano. We're going to have gig analysis in there of my own gig playing, some of our staff gigs as well. We're going to have an artist highlight area, which we're going to take an artist monthly, highlight a certain section of their playing, whether it's comping, improv, you know, solo piano, group playing, ballads, whatever it is, highlight that section, really bring you through an in-depth analysis of exactly what's going on, give you the transcription, give you the voiceover video of us explaining what's happening, and obviously give you practice exercises, workbook exercises to implement the strategies that we're teaching you as well. So, I mean, there's just so many great things about it. Now, if you're interested, now or by the time I finish this podcast series, in learning more about the lab launch, because we're going to be offering the biggest discount for the lab launch when we launch the lab, obviously, right? So it's like a celebration, price that you can get involved with and start on the lab. And, that will be locked in forever. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/lab launch. And you can get on the email list for the discount for the lab launch. And also, I mean, if you are on our email list, we're going to be sending out the discount through email. So that's how you'll get it. I don't know if, you know, I've said that really clearly before, but the lab launch, you may see some Facebook ads, but I wouldn't necessarily count on it, you know. But if you are interested, you know, the only thing we're going to send promotional emails about is the lab launch, right? So if you go sign up there, you're for sure going to get our biggest discount for the lab. Okay. So I just want to point that out there. jazzpianoschool.com/lab launch. All right. And so, with the lab, again, we're developing specialty courses and things like that. And, I'm just losing my mind here because there's so many great things happening. We have our custom website is taking a little bit longer, I know, for all the members out there that listen to the podcast. And I'm sorry about that, but just the way the tech is. But, you know, I have a really great feeling about it because once it is up, you know, we're going to be able to, it's going to change the way jazz piano is learned because, you know, my ideas and my visions for the type of software and technology that we're going to be using to implement practice videos where you can actually play along with us. We're going to have tracking, education, quizzes, you know, certain games, sharing of audio files, right? You're going to have your own dashboard. You know, you're going to have some an assessment area. It's going to be fantastic, and it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing from here on out. So everyone that's involved with Jazz Piano School now is going to actually, you know, reap the rewards of being a member to get all of the things that we're doing for improvements and things like that. So again, joining the lab, getting involved with Jazz Piano School now is just an amazing time because, you know, we're just taking off and it's really, really exciting and fun, and I'm just having a blast doing it. So with that being said, let's dive right into this episode. So our two-hand voicing building system, this is going to be part one. So I'm going to be showing you three different setups today, and from that, it's going to be more of a shorter, actually, podcast today because I'm going to show you these setups, and then in the next one, I'm going to show you more how to voice lead them, how to implement them, and things like that. But for now, I just kind of want to talk about these types of voicings and how you can use them and kind of, you know, what, I guess, what the thoughts are with voicing. So a lot of the time, students will move through, and this is exactly what I did, right? Remember, I was in the same place with you. I struggled with jazz piano education for years, right? Just jumping around to resource until I finally put all this stuff together and kind of built these systematic formulas, developed theory sequencing for the main curriculum and built the main curriculum. And now, you know, everything is kind of structured and organized. And that was my mission because I never wanted a student to have an unstructured path in jazz piano education. It frustrated me. You know, it brought me to tears many times in my career. And, you know, it cost me thousands of dollars, right? And years, right? I could have shaved years and saved thousands of dollars had I had jazz piano school when I was growing up. But anyway, so for our rootless voicings, right? So I see this all the time. People will comp right in this area. Now, when you're comping, if you're playing rootless voicings, let's say with your right hand, right? That's a rootless voicing. Or if I play a drop two rootless voicing here, right? Or something, these are all this dominant voicings, right? So this is a very thin area. It doesn't provide much support for anything, right? But it's a great jazz area. Now, I'm not knocking this, right? I'm just saying the areas on the piano have different support, you know, markers, levels, right? This area right here, okay, is going to be your greatest comping support area, okay? I just went to a concert and I saw a student, you know, and a lot, I see a lot of other people, you know, different levels, really comping, you know, all up here. And as great as it is, you need to have a balance of both, right? And I think people start to learn drop two voicings, you know, where they can take stuff like this, right? And create these types of motions, and it sounds so beautiful, right? But there's a time and a place to use that, and it's not always for comping everything, right? We want to give support. We want to think about our register. So setup one, okay, for our two-hand voicing building system, right? And again, this is taken directly from the lab, right? These steps are taken directly from one of the upgrade formulas from within the lab, okay? So it's going to be 1 and 7 in our left hand. We want the root in our voicing. I'm going to say it again. We want the root in our voicing, right? Now, not all the time, but lots of the time, it's great. It's great to have the root. So many people, and this was, I'm speaking from experience here, because my mental approach was to not use the root forever, right? All I wanted to do was play rootless, right? Drop two voicings. However, stuff like that, okay, right? More of the Bill Evans-y style. And again, I shouldn't even say that because Bill, you know, did so much more than that. He has the root in so many of things. But as a student, we start to learn these cool techniques up here, in this register right here, right? But we forget about all the great low-end bass note and support because we're told in groups, the bass player has the bass notes, right? So we stay away from that. So if anything, just to give you an overview, we want the roots. Roots are going to provide support in your comping. And again, I hear this so much, and And I just wish I could, I don't know, whoever it is, you know, obviously I'm not going to go up to someone, but I love helping people just discover this. Okay. So setup one is going to be 1 in 7 in our left hand. Now we learn this immediately, but somehow we forget, right? We learn, you know, root position chords, but then throughout our journey, depending upon where you are, the more intermediate moving into advanced levels, start to forget about the root. So we're going to take 1 in 7. Now from here, anytime we have a setup, this is going to be setup one. We have 1 in 7. We need to add the other, wow, my mind just had a blank there. The other shell in our voicing, right? Sorry about that. Woo, getting old. So 1 in 7, we're going to add the other shell in our right hand. So here is setup one, okay? This is going to be setup one, right? Now from here, we can do a whole bunch of things, but that's going to be setup one. Now we want to practice this throughout the keys and in all types of chords. So this is obviously our dominant, right? This would be our major seven, and this would be our minor seven, right? Now our flat fives are a little bit different, right? We'd put the flat five here after the third to get our flat five sound, okay? Then we can add other things, you know, besides that if we want, right? Do stuff like this, but I won't get into that just yet. So that's going to be setup one, 1 and 7, 3, right? Now we want to practice this through all the keys, okay? We want to be able to get that setup quickly because it's going to allow for us to move through a 2-5-1, for example. So from here, G minor 7, I'm going to show you the next setup, but we're going to go to C7 and then finally to F major 7, right? Which is setup one again, okay? Now, again, the purpose of this podcast is to show you the quickness and efficiency of the upgrade formulas in the lab. Okay, so that's setup one. We're going to go to setup two now. And setup two is going to be 1 and 3. And we're going to play 7, the other shell, in our right hand. Okay, so we have 1 and 3 and 7, right? Now, from here, again, these are the bare bones structures and setups to creating two hand voicings that are non-rootless. I should have said that before, non-rootless two-hand voicings. But there's another trick I'm going to show you in part two that we can use these for, so it's going to sound much better than just kind of just plunking them down like this, right? So this setup two, okay, we want to practice those in all the keys, okay? Now all the practice exercises and stuff to implement these, right, all the exercises to actually start to work on them, suggestions, things like that, that's in the lab, okay? But these, I'm just giving you, you know, the videos right here, so... Finally, we're back to setup number one, okay, on the F major 7. So I've just done a 2-5, right? G minor 7, C7, F major 7. Now, did you see how little my hands had to move? Like, they didn't go anywhere, right? They weren't jumping all over the place, and I think that's another thing. Comping, you know, I used to feel like I had to move all over the place. With good voice leading, you don't have to move anywhere, right? Everything's going to be really compact. Now, I want you to check out the sound, the difference between this. Excuse me, let's do the minor, right? That's very, very thin, right? I just want you to kind of really resonate with that. It's a very thin sound. Now, adding the root in. You hear how full and thick that sounds? That's the difference between our comping when we use the root and when we do not use the root. Now, the thick, full, velvety palate that the root creates is what we're going for. I mean, that's going to be used for behind soloists, behind singers. If it's just a singer and you want to use this type of voicing, okay? That's how important these are, right? So we're just upgrading this type of skill right here very, very quickly. So from here, we can start to add in things, okay, right? So we want to add or stack past the third. Now, depending upon your level, right, you can do whatever you want past this point. I mean, we can add in the fifth. We can add in different extensions if we want. The 13, right? We can add in the 9 on top. You know, we can add in the 11. We can add in the 13. I could do this, right? I could do this, right? So it doesn't matter, but it obviously from here, you have the setup. So whatever skill level you're at, you can start to add based on that. Now, I'm going to, if you're a more of an advanced player, you know your extensions, you can build up any type of color you want from setup number one. If you're an intermediate player, you don't know your extensions that well, okay? All you want to do from here is you can stack your rootless voicing on top of the third. See that there? Right? So I'm just using a G minor rootless voicing. This essentially creates a two-hand voicing. But the great thing that I want you to realize right now is I could have showed you this, okay? And all your mind in education would have learned is that you can stack a rootless voicing on top of this. That does not allow for flexibility or expansion or you giving you the possibility to achieve freedom because you're not learning the tool, which is the first setup, right? So a lot of times in jazz, this is what frustrated me and this is what my epiphany was about, was that a lot of times people are just showing us stuff. We're copying things. So I would copy this voicing, I'd copy this voicing, then I'd copy voice that voicing. Then I'd use that same thing everywhere, right? But from there, I'd be like, well, how do I get those cool sounding chords? Like, how do I get those color sounding chords in my voicing? Like, how do I start to, you know, freely move about and kind of create the voicings that I want to create instead of just this pattern? I hadn't been taught the tool, the setup, right? Which is the upgrade formula. It's the essence of the lab. Excuse me, I'm getting excited here. Is that we're teaching you these simple jazz tools, which in my opinion is the key to learning jazz, right? And so by using these tools, you're creating freedom in your playing throughout everything. Here's setup one. I can build anything I want now. I mean, I know the Lego. This is a Lego building block, so I can start to build anything I want, right? I can go to this, then I can go, right? And then I'm trying to keep it as basic as possible here. You know, stuff like this. Now, that was out of the setup, but again, I haven't taught you that much because we're just learning the setups here. But from that, it gives you the opportunities. That's the amazing part, okay? So, setup one, setup two, setup one. Now, there's a third setup, okay? The third setup is going to be 1 and 10. So, instead of going to 1 and 3, and by the way, I left off by saying you can put your rootless voicing, stack them on top. You can do the same thing for setup two, right? Here's setup two. 7, you stack your rootless voicing, and then back to setup 1, stack your rootless voicing, F major 7, okay? If you don't know your rootless voicings, then you'll want to learn those, right? So essentially, we're going from setup 1 to setup 2 to setup 1, right? Now, you learned that. You probably have learned that, but you may not have learned these simpler building blocks that are the setups, right? Now, setup 3 is going to be 1 in 10, right? Now, if you can't reach us, that's okay. You're just going to spread it out. So it'll sound like this. Right? Well, you can obviously reach the 1 and 7, so you don't need to break that apart, but and again, you can reach that as well, right? Right? Now, if I go to a 6 chord, for example, right? I'm going to break that apart. And that sounds actually cool because you're just using a rhythmic break to kind of break it up. You can put the 5 in there and break it up, or you can just have 1 and 10. Now, what am I using over here? Okay, just to give you a quick point, what setup is this? This is going to be setup 3. All right, now setup 3 again is a 1 and 10 with the 7 in my right hand. Right, so I have the shells, but they're just divided between hands, and then my right hand's left to play whatever I want. And again, that's dependent upon your skill level. So you have the main building block here to achieve freedom. That's the key. When I just show you this and I have you play that in all keys, you don't have the building block that it helps you achieve jazz piano freedom. And that's what we all want. We all want to be able to sit down on the piano and play effortlessly and self-express ourselves, okay? That does not allow you to do that, okay? It's boxing you in. We want to give you the necessary tools that are help you structure exercises to achieve complete freedom. I don't know. It makes me excited. I love it because this is what I went through, you know, myself learning these types of things. And I love sharing it with other people. So setup 3 can be used in place of setup 2, right? So we can use setup 2 or we can use setup 3. So I can go setup 1, setup 3, back to setup 1, okay? Just like that. Now, depending upon what register you in, what register you're in, you know, certain setups, this is a great register. Like as we start to move up here, again, roots play a different role. We want our roots to stay down here in this low end. We don't really necessarily want roots to be up here. So for example, I wouldn't play, you know, I wouldn't start a 251 in the key of E flat by doing, you know, this, right? I wouldn't go like this, right? That's a little high. And again, this register is meant and built for drop twos very, very nicely. And again, if you don't know what drop twos are, that's okay. But again, this is a specific register built for that type of sound. So again, your supportive sound is coming from this register. That's what I started off saying, okay? I really want you to understand that and kind of let that sink in. All right, so these types of two-hand voicings with the root, okay, are used down here in this this type of register. So now, sometimes we get too low, right? So let's say I was to play a 1 and 7. This is setup 1, right, in the key of C. This is getting a little bit too low. So what do we do here? How do we still use the low-end roots of our piano and create very nice, beautiful two-hand voicings? Well, that's why we have setup number 3, right? So instead of going 1 and 7, right, we can use this. We can use 1 and 10. And again, you don't have to spread it out like I do. If you have, smaller hands, you can just jump, right? Now, sometimes with setup 3, it's nice to stack the 5 in here because it adds a balanced stack. Adding balance everywhere in your voicing is going to be very nice. So instead of doing this, we could do this. You hear the difference between that? That was one little shift. I mean, I love that, right? So again, you might have learned, okay, rootless voicing, you know, and then that's it. But again, this setup, setup 3, with the option of putting the 5 here first, and the same thing, what did I use this on before? The 2-5-1, right? So I went, right? If we wanted to put the 5 here, our voicing would change, and our voice leading is going to change a little bit as well, but you could do that as well, right? You could put the 5 here. Right? We might do that. That's a very nice voicing with sharp 11 on top. But again, you do have that option of stacking the 5 there. It's going to create more of a kind of a balance here. But again, you know, I love this. If you want to create that as well, again, it works very nicely here, especially because in our rootless voicing, we have this half step, but now we have a nice balance thirds stacked up on top of the piano, right? And we're getting a stack of colors that are slightly different as well. We have the 5, 7, 9 and 11, right? Now from here, setup 3, we go back to setup 1. So if I use this, let's say I just do go in my basic rootless voicing, right? That voice leads just perfectly into setup 1, right? So I have 1, 7 and then the third on top. And again, I'm stacking my rootless voicing. We do not have to do that. Based on whatever level you are, you can choose any color extension after you have your setup. Right, so I can go this, right? I can go into this, my altered, right? I could do this, so I could go. Love that sound, sharp 11 and natural 13, right? And the 9 on top. I could put the sharp 9 on top. It's a little out there, but I like it. And then finally, we voice lead back into setup number 3 again, okay? On the C major 7. And again, here, right, we put our shell here. Now, it sounds a little bit better, right? Obviously, you can stack your rootless voicing, but these are some of the things you start to take in and use as learning progression building blocks. So you've just learned this. The next progression or building block would be to remove the third if you're just learning stacking your rootless voicings on top of the setup. Right, so you're starting to stack your rootless voicing on top of the setup. Here's our setup. You stack your rootless voicing. Since we have the third here, we don't need it here. That creates more of a balanced voicing, right? That creates a very nice balanced voicing. Same thing with here. Since we have the third here, we don't necessarily need it here. So you can remove that. Again, this is creating a drop two with a root. You see that? So essentially, you know, we're creating another tool that adds the root to these types of drop two voicings. Right? So what I did there was I added my sus first. And then resolved to the right setup number one with 13 and flat nine. And then this is a six chord, not a seven, right? So you also have the option of freedom as you start to progress, right? Now that you have the basic tool setup, you can start to progress these voicings. Obviously, we teach that in the lab through different movements, right? That you can start to move. So you can replace the seven with the six. Now we get a nice, beautiful six chord stacked in fourths. Look at that. This creates more of a modern jazz sound using that six there, because we're all in fourths and we have the six, or the 13 rather, and same thing, and nine and five on top. And then it just shifts and magically, like, do you hear how much support is gathered from down here? It's phenomenal. I love this section. So what we want to do, I'm just going to cover this, recap this real quick, because we've learned three setups. Now, obviously, in the lab, it's broken down much, much more, right? I spend more time with each setup, the different movements, the practice exercises, because we really want to kind of hone in on these different types of setups and you know, use them, and obviously we work on implementing them and things like that. But you're learning the tools. The point is you're learning specific tools. So what you can do here is take your three setups, right? You've learned three setups, one and seven in your left hand, three in your right hand. Now again, you may be like, oh, I'm ready, I've learned this already. But these are very, very specific tools that are gonna lead to amazing opportunities. Like, you have hundreds of doors to open and unlock after you master these, okay? So you should be able to do this in any key, right? Use all these setups. So you want to practice all your minor setups, right? And again, the way you practice, right, is all in the lab as well. All the practice exercises are laid out for you, right? In the future, we're going to actually have practice videos that you can play along with. The way I got that idea is kind of funny, is because I used to be a personal trainer. I love fitness, and I just, you know, just being active in general. And, you know, I used to watch P90X, or I worked out with P90X, and I love the way that I didn't have to think about anything, right? I could just go to the TV and exercise. I wanted to create the same thing with JPS, where I could just go to the piano, watch the practice exercises, just do it with the person, right? I don't even know if those are out there. I mean, I'm sure they must be, but maybe not. You know, usually we just show you what to do, and then it's like, all right, well, here's the written notation, you go practice it. But what if you want to read? It's like, that's, we want to stress your mind as little as possible. You should be able to just like turn it on, have a 15-minute practice session, like boom, you're done, completed, check, right? So anyway, that's going to be in there as well. But anyways, here's setup one, right? Take all your minor voicings. I mean, these should be like riding a bike no matter where you are, right? If I just jump up to A flat or E flat or D flat, you know, or B, B flat, A minor, F sharp, E flat, D, right? You should be able to get that setup just like instantly, right? That's what you want to practice and work towards, okay? Setup number two, right, with the one and three, you want to do the same thing, seven in your right hand. So essentially, you're just taking a root position chord and just leaving out the five and playing the seven with your right hand, right? Very easy. And again, as far as fingering, whatever's comfortable here for you, you know, that's the best thing that can work, okay? You want to practice these setups with all types of chords. I'd recommend starting, obviously, with the three most prominent ones, right? Major, minor, and dominant, okay? And then you and practice each setup with all those three types of chords. We have setup number three, right? One and 10. Again, you want to practice these with all different types of chords. So dominant and major will have the same third, but minor has the minor third, right? So that's what you're going to have to change. Now again, if you can't reach it, just jump it. I can't reach a major third from a black note to a white note, right? So what I do is this, right? Or I'll go here to D flat, right? That's all you got to do. That's all you're going to be practicing, because this is mainly the important part, right? That's what we want. Or we want this. You know, we want that sound there, okay? So learn those three setups. Practice them. Again, this is the two-hand voicing building system taken directly from our lab. You're learning these small upgrade formulas to really build out and just completely develop you as an overall, you know, jazz pianist in all these types of areas. You know, I picture it as like a little bar graph. So you're kind of moving your bar graph up in these different types of areas, comping, voicings, bebop, you know, McCoy style, whatever you want, fourths, you know. So all these different upgrade formulas are going to be available to you to kind of move that, push that bar, like bar graph up on different areas. So that is that. We're going to do part two next week. Okay. There's no practice exercises, right? All the practice exercises are going to be in the lab. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/lab launch. Again, if you want our biggest discount for our launch that we're going to be offering. Okay. We're going to be doing a huge promo on it. And then obviously there's going to be public pricing. Okay. So I urge you to go to jazzpianoschool.com/lab launch and you will get that discount. Again, we're going to be launching the lab within the next couple of weeks. All right. So, I think that's it. Practice these different setups. Enjoy, and I'll talk to you soon. Happy practicing.